Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. It's being called the biggest food competition the world has seen. One review says, think Olympics for food. The Final Table, Netflix's new global culinary competition show, featuring the world's most talented chefs fighting for a spot at the elite Final Table, made up of the greatest chefs from around the globe. Host for the Final Table is Andrew Knowlton, James Beard award-winning writer, editor-at-large at Bon Appetit, been there since 2000, overseeing the magazine's restaurant coverage, including the annual Hot 10 list, writer of popular features like 24 Hours at Waffle House, and Welcome to Hillstone, America's favorite restaurant, whose foodist column has run in the magazine since 2008, his 24 Hours at video series winner of the James Beard Foundation Award in 2017. You've seen him on The Next Iron Chef America, Iron Chef America, Bravo Series Best New Restaurant, and now host of The Final Table, premiering on Netflix November 20th, and he's with us on This Week in America, Andrew Knowlton. Andrew, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick.
It is going to be a fun series, and let's start with the format. You are featuring 12 teams of two chefs. By the way, chefs, all stars in their own right, legends in their own right. Talk about the format and how the chefs are paired.
Yeah, so we have 24 chefs, and then they are divided into 12 teams of two. Some of the chefs went to culinary school together. Some of them haven't seen each other for 20 years, and then some of them, they don't know each other at all. So it makes for a very interesting dynamic. And you would think that perhaps those chefs that, you know, kind of grew up together or know each other would do well, but that isn't necessarily the case through the different episodes. So it's an interesting kind of dynamic to watch for viewers out there. You know, it's 10 episodes. We travel to 9 different countries, Spain, France, the UK, of course we go to the United States of America, and then in each of those episodes, they have to cook the national dish of that country. So, you know, for the US, I'm not going to reveal what that dish is, but let's say it could be a hamburger. So then they have to come up with that ultimate hamburger recipe and present that to our culinary ambassadors, who consist of celebrities or pro athletes or supermodels, what have you, and then also a food critic, the major food critic from that country. In the second half of each episode, those bottom three teams, the teams that don't quite do the best job, then have to cook for our culinary god. And those are the people who, if they made playing cards for chefs, they'd be the most highly valuable playing cards. You're talking about Grant Achatz from the United States, who has a Linea in Chicago. You're talking about Anne-Sophie Pique, who has 3 Michelin stars from France. You're talking about Narasawa, who has 3 Michelin stars from Japan. So that's really where the intrigue kind of ratchets up. It's not playing around anymore. You're cooking for these culinary gods. And for a lot of these people, they're the people that they've looked up to their whole careers.
What does this mean to the chefs? You do some backstories where we get to know the contestants, the chefs sort of personally as we get a chance to see them up close. What does this mean for them?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there is no financial reward at the end of the Final Table. There is no you get your own restaurant because most of them already have 2 or 3 restaurants. I think it's what every chef ultimately wants is the adoration and acclaim from their peers. It's going to that Final Table and seeing these all-star chefs that you've worshipped and them saying, you're good enough to sit at the same Final Table as us. And I think that is what, you know, what we wanted to do with this show is to show culinary arts truly as an art form, what it was, show the beauty of them cooking. There's no sabotage or there's no machines that we make not work on purpose.
Right.
You're showing the skill that these chefs have. And I think at the end of the day, all any chef wants is for that amazing culinary god to be like, you're awesome.
And what's interesting, too, is you push the boundaries for them, don't you? These are sometimes cuisines that really aren't in their wheelhouse.
Rick, it's fascinating that, you know, I think something we take for granted in America is, you know, you can go and get a taco anywhere. But, you know, let's say we went to Mexico. One of the Japanese chefs, he had only had a taco once in his life, and that was 30 years ago. I mean, that's hard to believe. And then perhaps we have a Scottish chef who has never had real sushi. He's had maybe airport sushi, but he's never had real sushi. So I think it's interesting to see those things that maybe we take for granted in the U.S., that, like, we can eat any cuisine of the world. That's what makes this place a beautiful place. And I think that's intriguing. But at the end of the day, they might not speak the same spoken language. Maybe the Brazilian chef doesn't speak French, but they do speak the same culinary language. And it's amazing to watch, say, a Japanese chef do his version of a taco. And you would think that perhaps a Mexican chef would have an advantage in Mexico, but a lot of times it didn't work out that way. Sometimes these judges were kind of harder on the people who were from their own country. And so that's something to watch for on the final table, that kind of dynamic also.
Well, the goal is a seat. I understand the 10th seat at the final table. Talk about that and who is going to be sitting at the table when they take the new seat.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that is basically what they're going to. And you kind of follow along each episode where there'll be teams eliminated, and then you end up with a certain number of chefs all vying for that one spot with these culinary gods. And that's, you'll see in the final conclusion, don't skip forward, watch them all in perfect order, but you'll see that at the end, and, like, you'll see those tears of joy, you know, not because they want any money or not because they get a restaurant, but because they do get that seat at the final table. And I think that's the show that I wanted to be associated with. You know, spending 20 years of my life in food and beverage, it's something that I take seriously, and it's this show, I think, rightfully puts these chefs up on a pedestal.
Well, it's interesting because it's been said you approach restaurants with a kind of studied exactitude of some old-timer baseball scout. Through that through that lens, give me your perspective of the series, and I get the feeling this is like Christmas time for you.
Well, I'm finally thankful not to be the bad guy. I'm not the critic on this one. I can just stand back and be that announcer who's just in awe of the spectacle that's going on in front of me. I mean, I think one of the things, I knew so many of these chefs who are the contestants, and I certainly knew all of the culinary gods on the show just from doing my homework. I'd been to a lot of their restaurants. So that was the level I knew that we were dealing with. Like I said, these weren't culinary graduates or people who were just starting out in the business. These were, you know, all-stars in their own right. And I think, you know, the culmination of my 20-year career, which hopefully will go another 20 years, but watching this global event happen and seeing that of all the differences that we have in the world, food is truly that one thing that is a window into no matter what culture. And at the end of the day, all any chef wants to do is make the person that they're feeding happy, whether you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner for your family or whether you're cooking a 20-course meal at some fancy restaurant. That ultimately is why people cook.
Got about a minute left. An interesting aspect of this, the final table, a global competition, being released in one version on Netflix, 190 countries around the world, all at the same time. Everybody from the world is going to be watching this together.
I know. My in-laws in Norway will get to watch it and comment at the same time. And like I said, I will be dubbed in some of these countries. So I didn't know it, but apparently I speak like 50 languages now. At least that's what it looks like.
Well, you'll update your resume now, fluent in dozens of,
yes,
of different languages.
Yes.
Andrew Knowles, our guest on the program, editor-at-large, James Beard Award-winning writer, and host of The Final Table, new cooking competition, global competition, on Netflix, premiering November 20th. Andrew, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. The Final Table, premiering on Netflix on November 20th. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.